welcome to Advisor Talk with Frank LaRosa. Brought to you by Elite Consulting Partners, it's the only podcast offering unfiltered guidance and direct advice for all things concerning financial advisors, RIAs, and the practitioners in the wealth management business. Learn more and subscribe today at eliteconsultingpartners.com/podcast. And now, here's your host, Frank LaRosa.
So, you know, what I want to talk about on this episode really is what we talked about yesterday. This whole idea and concept of buyers being, I think, overly optimistic or greedy, right? I think there's this sense that advisors are
miseducated.
Yeah.
Uneducated.
Right.
Well, sellers, right? Buyers, right? The buyers know the market, the sellers don't.
Exactly. Buyers know the market. You think that buyer mindset has changed at all?
I think sellers are the ones that are the most, you know, just get me 10x. Like they're the most, I don't know, sort of living a big dream as to what they think they're worth. They don't even, they just think we can come out and say, oh, I found a firm that's going to give you 15x without even providing any demographics or financials of their business. What are the costs to run the business? Like they're just coming at it like, I need 15x. Well, based on what? No one's going to promise you anything until you take a deep dive into, they understand what it takes to run the business, what you're made of.
No, I know. And I think that the issue that we're seeing is, I don't know if it's the press. I don't know if it's, they're being told by their buddies what they got in their deal and they didn't really get that information, or they got some number, right? It's like when a firm says, or an advisor moves to a firm and they say, well, I got a 400% deal. Well, no, not really. Maybe if you hit all your bells and whistles and you hit the back end of the deals, which is, which is like potentially a pipe dream. If you grew your business by, you spent 20 years and you've never grown your business more than 15% a year. In order for you to hit those numbers, you have to grow your business by 50% or more in, 4 years, which is unlikely. And I think the same thing holds true for sellers right now that feel like Vince, you said this the other day or yesterday was, right? Well, I don't know if maybe it was Stacy. You were talking to a million-dollar advisor, and he was like, well, I want 10X.
He was like, I need north of 10X. That's literally how he's coming at me. And he hasn't provided anything to anybody.
10X of what, right? Like, I wrote down some bullets. I don't know if it'll be helpful, right? But your age and the age of your colleagues matter. So that's kind of like one thing to mention, right? Obviously, the average age of the clients matters. Concentrated positions and managing assets differently, i.e. not having models, are huge factors in someone taking over your book.
Like the father-son team. We were on a wild goose chase to find somebody that was the best stock picker to make sure that nothing, not an ounce of it, is disrupted when they've ridden off into the sunset. So their expectations as a seller are really, really pigeonholed.
Yeah. If you're 65 and you think you're going to work another 10 years, the buyer isn't budgeting for that, right?
Well, I just had a deal fall through. Not really it's a deal, but eventually it'll go through. But the seller is losing the opportunity because he wanted the buyer to run the money the same way he runs the money. And it wasn't. And it was basically like an individual stock picking model, right? It wasn't like, hey, I want you to use the same SMA models and theories, which you can get away with. It was, I want you to pick the same stocks that I've been picking. And oh, by the way, I want you to give me a huge number. And oh, by the way, I'm going to stick around because I'm going to manage. I need to understand how you're handling my clients. So basically I'm going to have some control still. I want you to pay me full dollar. Right. but I'm not going to release all the control. And I think in that deal blow up. So what, Vince, what else are you going to, you said you had a couple other points.
I think there's no perfect deal, but there's perfect deals, right? So being more open to what's out there, making a move is better than not making a move. You solve contingency, you monetize, you free up your time, and waiting doesn't solve anything. You know, and I think the other thing too, like I envision this as being more of a consultative, like we've got to consult you on your next move. And really a lot of sellers are hung up on money, and money doesn't solve everything, especially if the firm drives you absolutely crazy, you know, and there's.
No, I know. I've tried to tell that to guys too, like guys, general terms, you know, like you can go to a firm that's going to give you a lot of money, but if it's not the right fit and culture and accomplishes what you want to get accomplished, it could actually cost you more money than maybe taking a lower deal with the better fit, right? And we've seen this with firms that sell to PE firms, right? Because they sell because it's a higher number, but they ultimately ends up costing the firm more in the long run because it changes the culture of the firm. And it changes some of the reason why advisors were going to the firm in the first place.
Yeah.
So it's just been a frustrating thing, which is why I wanted to just, you know, have this quick call. The message here to advisors, obviously, if you're listening, you can hear our frustration because we get on these calls and we want to help advisors that want to sell. And we have, we probably have more with our M&A firm, we probably have more sellers than we've had in a long time. Meaning the number of sellers, relative to the buyers is going up. There's always going to be more buyers, way more buyers than sellers. But the number of sellers we're seeing gone up exponentially. The challenge is some of those sellers have been misguided in what they should be getting for their practice. And by the way, how they should be getting, you know, the money for their practice. Stacey, were you talking to me about a deal with an advisor that wanted to sell his business for some high multiple, like a 10x multiple, right? And then on top of that, he wanted that all in cash. And then he wanted another 2x in stock. So it's like a 12x deal. And it's not even a multi-billion dollar team, right?
Yeah, I mean, look, we're having, I think recently in the RIA space, RIA owners coming to us, just throwing out numbers that pertain to maybe some of the larger teams, you know, the $10 million, the $12 million teams. If you're a $1 or $2 million RIA or practice, and you're hearing 10, 12, 15X, you can't make the assumption that it automatically applies to you because you're all recurring revenue. You know, the way that the advisor spends money in their business, the staffing, what they spend money on, the true profitability, the EBITDA of their business. If you don't share those things with us, we can't comfortably put a number on it. You have to go through a true and factual analysis of your business. We're not looking to disrupt what you do and what you've built. We respect that tremendously, all your hard-earned years and blood, sweat, and tears put into it. We're not trying to disrupt those things. We just want to level set what's true and what's not. Just because you're hearing these, you know, large acquisitions out in the RIA space of these, you know, multi-billion dollar companies, that doesn't apply to everybody. So all we ask is that the advisor comes to us with, tell me what the facts are. I'd love to do an analysis of what it means for me in particular.
I think too, like, right, there's more sellers that are coming into the frame because they're starting to realize that their junior partner can't buy them out, right? They can't afford to buy them out. Live Oak Bank or any others aren't going to give them a loan for the actual acquisition. And you fast forward, they're in their early 60s, and now they're going to entertain conversations. But they're looking at what other numbers. First of all, I think the the multiple numbers that are thrown out are confusing, right? Like the industry in general is used to like a 3x top line revenue, maybe 4x if your business is exceptional top line revenue. Now you're getting multiples of 10 on EBOC or EBITDA. And there's so many ways to kind of cook the books on those numbers realistically, that it does get confusing. And then an advisor that controls a billion and a half team with revenue of $7 or $8 million or whatever the numbers may come out to be says, no, we're not going to make a move because I'm not getting my 12 or 14. And the clock still is ticking. They're getting older, right? And so are their clients. So that becomes a less and less attractive deal to anyone that's going to buy them. Right?
And there's no one size fits all. Like we, you know, we want to help the advisor obviously achieve, you know, the most amount of economics and comfort and excitement about taking this huge milestone leap in their career to sell, retire, whatever it is. But we can't treat everything as if it's in a box or pigeonholed. Every practice is unique economically, culturally, and at least be open-minded to learn, what does this mean for my business?
Yeah, look, if you're you talk to somebody and they say, oh, I got 10X, your first question should be, on what?
On what? And how?
Right, right. And how? Right. Is it, did you get 20% down, 50% down, 30%, whatever it is? And then what's the, you know, and this is, I think this changed, I saw a change with when we went from 2022 to 2023, the end of the 2022 year, where the deal structure started to change, and a lot of the risk for those bigger multiples were put on the seller, right? So they got an upfront piece, but the seller's note was much larger, right? So it's like, oh great, you got 12x, you know, but look at how much responsibility and how much risk you have as a seller on the tail if your buyer doesn't perform because you sold to the wrong person. And that's an important piece. The other thing, Vince, you made a comment about, which is true. People think that, you know, well, I'll go to Live Oak and I'll borrow the money. That's fine. But Live Oak still wants, you still need to put down 10% of your own dollars on the deal. Like they're going to give you the money. And maybe it's, you know, $2 million, but they're going to want you to put down $200,000 of your own money to do to get that deal. They don't just say, oh, yeah, here's $2 million, you know, and you don't have any skin in the game. And so that's where I think people are starting to realize that we're saying junior guy. We're not saying like a, you know, a 25-year-old, right? But someone that's in their 40s, they may not have $250,000. To drop to put the deposit down on a $2.5 million practice, right?
Or maybe not a practice, but a value. Scale, maybe the experience to run a business of that size. I mean, let alone the economics. Right. Do you have the staff and the time and the wherewithal to continue to run that business without that senior partner there any longer? Or who do you need to be brought into the business? And do you get along with them? Do you like them? Are you okay having roommates for a period of time? Like, that's a big part of the conversation too.
It's kind of funny. Like, one of our colleagues brought me in on a meeting not too far from here. And it was a team that managed, you know, a little bit over $300 million. And they had revenue of, let's say, about $2 million plus. So easily that book of business is worth $6 million. Their junior partner is like maybe 37. Smart person. But at the end of the day, they don't have a couple hundred thousand dollars sitting around to put down. And even if they did, I mean, even if they had $1 million to put down and they're going to borrow $5 million, at what rate, you know, at what rate is it going to make sense? It may not make sense, right? So, you know, obviously, it just may not be financially feasible for them to pull it off. On the flip side, that same team joins a bigger RIA firm, a hybrid firm, and now that junior partner becomes immensely important to running the practice over a period of another 20, 25 years, and is going to command a pretty big salary and bonus structure, right? And that might be the best option for everyone involved, right? That's kind of the opportunities that we could bring to the table.
I think the message here that I hope that people take away from this is we're here to do the hard work. And sometimes the hard work means telling people the truth about like the hard messages, right? It's like when you coach sports and as a parent, sometimes, if you care about your players and you care about your kids and your people and your family, you have to tell them the truth. And sometimes people don't like to hear the truth. But if you care about them, you'll tell them the truth. And I think that's where we come in. And that's where I wish more firms that are in our space, would do that. And not just say, oh, I can get you 12x or 15x so that they work with them, right? They should be looking at a firm that's going to care about what their end game is, and we'll work to get them the best deal possible. Like, we do that, right? That's our goal. That's our job. We love doing that. But sometimes it's our responsibility to be completely blatantly honest with them about what we think they can get or can't get. And then let them chew on that and come back down to earth with all of the other components of what makes a deal successful.
At least, Frank, let us identify three or four options and compare the pro formas or the analysis side by side. So you're not going to have one at 3x and one at 20x. They're probably all going to fall, what do we say, within the foot of the hole, give or take? And let's compare and contrast what those look like so you know where you fall versus make some demand that doesn't even come close to where you exist. So
our job, I mean, we could easily put you in front of three or four firms that are qualified. They have the money to buy. They have the money to offer you. And let's see what they think you're worth, right? You know, your friend that maybe never made a move thinks you're worth 12X. but these firms that buy firms like yours and bigger are telling you exactly what you're worth. And if you think that you're going to wait a year or two and you're going to get more, you're wrong. You got older, your clients got older, and if anything, you're going to get less. And I think, Frank, that's the point where we may seem like the bad guy because we're telling them something they don't want to hear. But in reality, that's the consulting part of our job.
All right. Well, this was a little bit of a different, podcast, because I wanted to just get into the conversation, because what we should have done yesterday during the meeting when we were having this conversation is that I should have just started recording our conversation.
That was yesterday. Really raw.
Right. Right. But this is the point. This is maybe a little bit of a frustration coming out from us, in that, there, these expectations are in the stratosphere, of verging on stupidity. It is what it is.
It's education. It's still education.
Right. Well, we're educating, right. And I think that you can, if you're someone out there and you're thinking about selling your firm, you can really do yourself some harm if you're not educated and understand what the band of sort of pricing might be on your specific practice, right? You might have an all recurring based business, right? But 60% of your recurring fees are mutual fund trails. That is not the same as advisory revenue. And so someone that doesn't understand that is just selling the idea of getting you to move so they can get a commission, and they're not digging deep into what does your practice actually look like, is going to waste your time. And that's what we're trying to, and we're saying this, it's a little bit self-serving for me, at least, because we don't want to waste anybody's time. We don't want to waste our time by having someone come to us that's talked to some other organization who gave them and fed them unrealistic expectations of what their practice is really worth. Look, it's our job to educate them. And this is part of this. I hope they're listening to this, and it's a little bit more direct, a little bit more raw, because it's frustrating to hear what's out there. And these people, you know, if you're a $1 million producer and you have $150 million in in assets, you're not getting 10x. Like, or maybe you are, but you know, the 80% of that 10x is all sellers. You know, it's all, you're holding the note for the performance of your practice, and you're going to have to go like this, and you're still going to have to work and all this other stuff.
You're going to have to ask why. I think someone, right. I spoke with somebody recently at one of our favorite PE firms. And when I said, you know, we keep hearing these 10X, 12X, these wishful thinking multiples. And the word that they use was, it just sounds so undisciplined. And what I was advised was, you should ask the question to the advisor, why are you getting that much? It seems so much far off from where the real number is coming from. So that's great if you're being quoted 10 or 12X. And this is coming direct from a private equity firm consultant. To keep it anonymous for now, but he basically said that sounds so undisciplined and they're just trying to win the business and the advisor's not reading the fine print. He's just right. Enamored by the shiny object. So just ask those questions if it sounds undisciplined. I like that term.
Yeah, you know, I have somebody that is part of an organization that sold part of their deal, right? They did a sort of minority sale and they regret it today because the contract for them to, if they wanted to leave for the minimal amount of money that they got, which was seven figures, but relative to the what they're making on the business, right, it was a really bad deal. And the money that the advisor got, the firm basically made that money back in a year and a half. Right.
And so, then probably stipulations too. Right?
Stipulations. They can't get out of it. Right. they can maybe get out of it by giving all the money back, right? But it's a challenge because they weren't delivering on the things that they were supposed to deliver on, which is why they were doing the deal. And the directive and the culture of the firm changed overnight. Look, I've been approached on occasion by some firms and I generally say no because if you do the math, all they're doing is giving you your money up front, right? That's all these firms are doing. They're just giving you, and it's just a matter of whether they're giving you 3 years, 4 years, 5 years, or 7 years of your current cash flow up front. So do you need the money right now, right? If you don't, if it's not going to be life-changing dollars, then I tell people I wouldn't do it, you know, like, is it good to have $1 million? You know, someone's going to give you a couple million dollars. Great. But if your practice is a multi-million dollar business and you're generating, you know, a lot of money, maybe not $1 million a year, but you're generating $400,000, $500,000, $600,000 a year, right? So you turn down $2 million or $3 million. You'd have made that up in 3 or 4 years anyway. And you lose control of your business. Especially if it's growing. So if you're in your 70s or late 60s, early 70s, that conversation gets different, right? But if you're in your late 50s, early 60s, I don't think people understand that, which is what one of the things I love about the business that we're in, and I don't mean the recruiting and consulting business, I mean the financial services industry. If you're a real practitioner and you've built a really good business, with good partners, junior partners and support staff and all that other stuff, right? Why do you need to retire, right? Like, okay, you're going to get a little bit of my extra money, but if you have a great business, your cash flow is, the firms are buying your practice because they want the cash flow. So you've already built what they want. Why are you going to give it to them for not a lot of money, relatively speaking, right? You build a good model, just figure out, I tell this to my wife, you know, about me retiring. I don't know if I'll ever retire. I just want to work differently, right? Like, I love what I do. I love helping advisors. I think what we do is admirable because we help change the lives of financial advisors, right? Okay, well, I can do that when I'm 70 years old, right? I can do that when I'm at the top of a mountain hunting elk in Utah, as long as I have signal. Right. Right. I was in Idaho with my friend Brian, and we were in Idaho. We were up in a mountain. We were really high, and I had a Garmin, so I was able to, satellite text, right? And I was just communicating with JC, our chief of staff, about some things, going back and forth, and because we were just sitting waiting. And I turned to Brian, and I said, do you see this right in here? Like, I went like this, right? I said, this is what my retirement looks like. I'm hunting, I'm outside, I have the business. It's working, it's operating. I have a great team like you guys, and I'm making money, and we're helping advisors. Why would I want to stop doing that? And I think that if you're a financial advisor, you have to think about that, right? Like, don't just retire because you hear it's 10 or 12X. Oh, I have to do it, right? I have to do it now for 12. It's a life-changing decision you're making. Just figure out how to do it differently. Bring in the junior partner, like Vince is saying. Bring in that junior partner. Just give that person a little bit more of a percentage of the business, of the revenue of the business, right? So you can work a little bit less or spend more time with your best clients, right? If you're working with 100 clients, work with 20 clients. Segment your book better. You'd be surprised that you'll make just as much money and you'll probably be happier. Again, unless someone's given you $50 million, like let's say it's the one you were working on, right? The father, son, they were getting 10, 11, $12 million. But even there, and the father was older, so I get it. And that was a unique situation because the dad was older and loved the business, and the son just wanted to, run naked.
Right off into the sunset.
He wanted to run naked through the woods, as we say.
You just say that?
Yeah. But the reality is that was a different animal, right? And so they were getting $10, $12 million. Okay. That's a different story, right? But we're not hearing that. We're talking about these million-dollar practices and you want to sell because they're going to give you, you think you're going to get 10X, but you're really not, right? You're getting a couple million dollars up front, and then you have to earn the rest of it. So you're just paying yourself back with your own money. That's it.
I think the point is make sure that whoever the buyer might be or whatever private equity firm is coming to the plate, that you understand what their value proposition is culturally and economically. Two components.
Right. And does that align with what you're ultimately really trying to get? Really being truthful with yourself on what you're trying to get accomplished. So anyway,
that's it.
I hope that helps. I know there was no real introduction on this one because it was sort of, let's just get into it and have this conversation and get it off our chest. Obviously if they want to, reach out to you guys, Stace, what's your number that they can reach out to you?
Yeah, but it's 856-816-6322 or Stacey@EliteConsultingPartners.com. Don't forget the E. That's my tagline.
Stacey with an E. And Vince, what about you?
So 201-723-5934. Happy to have the conversations and see how we can help. Everybody's situation is different. So
if you're looking for some straightforward, truthful advice on what your practice is worth or not worth and what you should be doing, we're the firm you should talk to, because we will not pull any punches. Pun intended, we will always be frank with you about everything. So,
well, that's anyway. The new tagline. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a new thing. That's a new tagline. Well, so, anyway, thanks everybody for listening, and we hope you enjoyed the short hot mic moment. Thanks.
Take care.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to Advisor Talk with Frank LaRosa. If you're looking for more advice or solutions on any topics in the financial services industry, or you just want to subscribe to our podcast, head on over to EliteConsultingPartners.com/podcasts.